The Jason Rand Show.
Jason Rand hosts a radio show in Seattle, and he has, as always, the details for us exclusively.
Jason Rand, our Seattle guy, is with us now.
Jason Rand, always great to have you in focus. Thank you.
Hey, Jason, I think you're all right, and thanks for being on the show.
An update on what's happening in your Pacific Northwest.
We're told that all of the smoke from the wildfires across New York from Canada is due to global climate change. It's not. We'll tell you why. Senator John Kennedy is speaking out against all of the bans on gas-powered everything. We'll explain what he said. Plus, Leo Terrell, attorney, stops by to explain what the impact of indictments will have on Donald Trump and his prospects of being re-elected or elected again. We're going to get to that story and so much more this hour of The Jason Rand Show. So, let's dive in.
The monologue.
The breaking news, it's happening right as we speak. It was announced via Truth Social and Donald Trump's account about 15 minutes ago. The president has been indicted on charges out of the special counsel Jack Smith investigation into the documents that were stored at Mar-a-Lago. He's facing at least 7 federal counts related to how he not only handled those documents, but claims of obstruction of justice. He's been ordered to appear in federal court in Miami on Tuesday. Now, the announcement first came from Trump himself. I'm on the Truth Social app right now seeing it. The first tweet he posted, or the first truth he posted, the corrupt Biden administration has informed my attorneys that I have been indicted, seemingly over the boxes hoax, even though Joe Biden has 1,850 boxes at the University of Delaware, additional boxes in Chinatown, D.C., with even more boxes at the University of Pennsylvania and documents strewn all over his garage floor where he parks his Corvette, and which is secured by only a garage door that is paper thin and open much of the time. Now, in a second Truth Social post, he said, I've been summoned to appear at the federal courthouse in Miami on Tuesday at 3. I never thought it possible that such a thing could happen to a former president of the United States who received far more votes than any sitting president in the history of our country and is currently leading by far all candidates, both Democrat and Republican, in polls of the 2024 presidential election. In all caps, he wrote, I am an innocent man. And then finally, he said, this is indeed a dark day for the United States of America. We are a country in serious and rapid decline, but together we will make America great again. Now, the question, of course, becomes, number one, how serious are these charges? Now, his attorney, Alina Habba, one of his attorneys, was just on with Fox News.
And I really want the American people to understand this legally. This is no different than somebody saying, you know, Alina Habba, you murdered someone yesterday because I brought in Hillary Clinton and she said you did it. Well, yeah, no kidding. So now we get the opportunity to bring our evidence. We get the opportunity to see it through. And if we have an impartial judge, an impartial jury, like we are supposed to have in the America I know, in the America that has a constitution that we're supposed to abide by, then President Trump will be vindicated on all fronts.
Now, we don't have, as of now, the specific charges. We just have the general sense of the charges being tied to this particular, from the raid on Mar-a-Lago, which was incredibly dramatic and unnecessary and, frankly, unprecedented. He is already dealing with another indictment. He pled not guilty back in April to charges by the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, 34 felony counts of falsifying business records in the first degree. That is 100% a bogus lawsuit. And it was seen as inherently political, which makes this indictment seem also political. At some point, when you get hit many times with indictments in this environment, in this atmosphere, in which the president has been attacked left and right for his entire term, with the media and Democrats leaning into Russian collusion, which was 100% false, and they knew it at the time, and they reported otherwise, I imagine that there are even some folks who either don't like Trump or maybe they're kind of soft on him. Like, it's too much drama. I imagine they're going to use this as an opportunity to reassess where they stand. Because I think it is a winning argument to say that you are the victim of political persecution, given the hell that they put him through. Some people might feel like it was justified because they just don't like the guy. But we have rule of law. And it is certainly true that that rule of law has to be followed by Donald Trump, regardless of whether or not he's an ex-president. But the fact of the matter is, they had been going after him. They said they pretty much said, we will do everything in our power to make sure he's never the president again. And this plays into that. He is now making another piece of history, being the first former president to go through, be hit with a federal indictment. Matt Whitaker is the former acting attorney general. He was on Fox News and said it's really odd how quickly this case actually moved, especially when you compare it to the others.
It's a really sad day for our country. I mean, if you believe in the rule of law and if you believe in equal justice under the law, this should concern you because, you know, we have what appears to be a completely political prosecution of the former president, the current leader for the Republican nomination. And, you know, it is it was a rush to get him indicted. You know, you look at the other cases, compare this to Hunter Biden's case, Joe Biden's case, Vice President Pence's, and even, you know, Hillary Clinton. And I just I can't see how the Department of Justice isn't explaining why they're doing this case and none of these other cases that I just mentioned.
Now, I imagine that there will at least be an attempt to answer that question. How quickly, I don't know. Obviously, Merrick Garland is someone who he ordered this, and he would be the person, the attorney general, to actually speak to this. However, he is clearly politically motivated in what he does because he is an appointee of Joe Biden. He is a partisan. And I don't know if he answers any questions or if he tries to, it will be seen as, I don't know, effective to the conservative side, which believes that there's nothing he can say that will, in fact, justify the treatment of President Trump. This is obviously going to have some significant impact on the election, either very, very positive like the last one or perhaps negative, or maybe nothing changes yet. I don't know. And we'll talk with Leo Terrell about this later on in the show, attorney, Fox News contributor. Is there a number of indictments in which his fans would be turned off? Because if the answer is no, nothing's really going to change here. And the only thing that could possibly happen is, like I said, some of those moderate Republicans and maybe some independents look at this and are disgusted. And just as a matter of principle, because they don't like what this says about this country and the message it sends, might end up supporting him. I don't know. That's what happened the first indictment. Will that happen the second? We're going to keep an eye on that.
The interview.
As we've been covering all week, Seattle City Councilmember Andrew Lewis sold out his district. He decided to go with the activist crowd in basically de facto legalizing drugs in Seattle. His decision to vote against an ordinance, a very simple one that's not really controversial, which would allow the Seattle City Attorney's Office to go after drug possession, drug use on the streets of Seattle now that it's a gross misdemeanor. He said, we're going to keep it with the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, who has come out and said, we cannot handle these cases. We cannot handle them. Joining me on the line is someone who wants to actually represent the district. Olga Sagan is the owner of Piroshki. She has been dealing with a lot of issues in this district, and she joins me now. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, just when you saw it was Andrew Lewis who made that deciding vote to de facto legalize drugs, what went through your mind?
It was a very unusual meeting, and I actually was shocked and surprised how much he struggled with making a decision on a pretty political policy, and it also sounded like he was caught by surprise because he was going to vote differently. I'm also a little bit taken back by that, as you know. Lewis is an attorney. He knows how to, you know, bills work. And I've been taken away by the whole surprise and changing the vote right there and then.
What does this mean for downtown Seattle, Pioneer Square, South Lake Union. What does this mean, this decision to leave it as status quo?
Well, I think we are not taking our city back into our hands, and we're not helping our communities of downtown, our residential community, small business owner communities, and tourists by really pretty much closing our eyes on what's happening and not taking responsibility and accountability ourselves, but looking up to someone else to do it who we know isn't doing it.
But what does that mean on the ground? Do you expect that the situation will stay the same? Will it get worse?
It will not get better.
Yeah. And what does that mean?
It will not get better.
What does that mean for a business owner like yourself?
That means that it's still every single day, not just me as a business owner, but my kids get to see people, doing drugs right in front of their home or right in front of their workplace. Or right in front of their, just commute to a grocery store. And we do see that every single day. And I don't think it's right, especially for kiddos, and for tourists. And we're just not respecting the entire community right now.
Now, he indicated that he thinks that his vote could hurt him politically. I actually think his comment there was meant to be political, trying to get people to give him a little bit of slack, like I'm making the tough choices regardless of what it means for my politics. He's doing that as a political ploy. I mean, obviously, it should hurt his chances of reelection. How are you going to make the case that what he's doing right now is not in our best interest? You should give me the position, someone who's not the incumbent.
I don't need to make that case. That case has been made by his constituents. That case, all the statistics and all the data in downtown Seattle has been released. Chamber had incredible index on this. His constituents have spoken. What happened is he did not maybe represent his constituents. Possibly he represented his values. I'm not sure. I cannot dig into what he was thinking. But I don't need to convince anyone of anything. We just need somebody who will listen to their constituents and be aligned in their values with their constituents.
But I've always gotten
I've always gotten
the impression that people aren't aren't connecting the dots, that they don't like the direction, but then they vote for the same people or the same kinds of people. To me, that means they don't know who's responsible for this. So how likely is it that folks in downtown or Belltown, they don't realize who's responsible?
I don't think it's likely. I think what we're comparing to, so the last city downtown elections were in 2019, 2020, which we were right before COVID. So it was a very booming time. We're still in very high booming area of everything, economy, everything. And then I said this many times, when you're really doing really, really well, the laws and the practices that you implement are, above and beyond basic needs. Now we have to go back to basics, really basic, that we never even thought about in last, 15 years. And you cannot implement, high-level, incredible laws that when the basics are not taken care of. So that we have to kind of reel back and go back to basics. And I don't think people are going to vote the same way they did last time. I really don't believe it. I think people of downtown, I think businesses are fed up with everyday struggle that we see, and we see how much money we're spending on it, we see what our taxes are, and we do not see results. And then someone comes out yesterday and is surprised. Why are we got off guard during the meeting about the problem that has been there for at least 3 years?
I hope you're right. I hope people are ready for change, and I hope they don't just say they're ready but actually vote the way that would show that they're ready. I know for your campaign, it's incredibly important that you raise money. So I hope people who want to support Olga, go to her website, olgaforseattle.com. It's all spelled out, O-L-G-A-F-O-R, Seattle, olgaforseattle.com. Olga Sagan, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Now this.
The interview.
Well, all the media seems to be able to talk about, because are all based on the East Coast, is the fact that their area is being blanketed with wildfire smoke coming from the Canadians. They're always to blame. But, of course, we're also hearing that global warming is to blame. And that seems to be the go-to excuse whenever any incident happens involving the environment. Joining me on the line to discuss is someone who knows a thing or two about this. He's the Vice President of External Affairs at the American Conservation Coalition, where I serve as an Evergreen Advisor. Chris Barnard, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jason. It's I know you're based on the West Coast, so for once it's us having to deal with wildfire smoke.
Yeah, no kidding. I was thinking that the other day. I'm like, they're making a big deal about this. This happens to us pretty much once a year, and it's almost always coming from Canada. Not always, but in large part it comes from Canada. What role does climate change play in this? Because if I'm listening to some media outlets, it's the biggest driver of this.
Yeah, it's a really frustrating conversation, honestly, because you have people like Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer saying, this is a new normal, this is all caused by climate change. You have mainstream media outlets just directly pinning the blame on climate change. But really, the truth is much more nuanced. We should establish that, yes, climate change does make things warmer and hotter. And obviously, when you're talking about forest fires and forests in general, that will have an impact. But at the end of the day, these fires are not just randomly starting in a vacuum. They are started overwhelmingly by humans, sometimes by lightning or other sources. But for the most part, it's because of humans causing them, mostly unintentional. And also the other problem is that we've had terrible forest management mm-hmm. policies that have actually refused to tackle the root of this problem, which is that if you refuse to take out underbrush in overgrown forests, or you take out some of the growth that has been there for decades because environmentalists think that that's somehow damaging the forest, you're building up decades worth of tinder that once there is a flame in the area, the whole thing goes up in flames.
Exactly.
And so what we should be doing and talking about is how can we better manage our forests so that they don't go up in flames every year because of humans causing it. And so I think blaming climate change is just really one side of the story and doesn't get to the root problem, which is actually environmentalists stopping us from doing the very forest management that would prevent these kinds of fires in the first place.
Exactly. It's just a lazy argument that because it doesn't get to the root cause of the issue ensures that this will happen again, which then, of course, means Chuck Schumer and others will double down, triple down, quadruple down on the same lazy argument about climate change. And this whole idea of, even to your point, climate change can, in fact, make things warmer. And if things are warmer, then something that is occurring like this fire would be negatively impacted. Yeah, it's also true, but it feels like climate change can also lead to wetter environments, right? And as a result of that, that could also cause some problems or exacerbate issues. At some point, we have to step back and say, we can't just constantly use this as an argument because the way that it is framed makes it so that you could literally tie absolutely everything to this nebulous term of climate change. And rather than clear out the brush and the dry, dead leaves, we are choosing to be beholden to environmental purists who don't think that humans should have any role in maintaining our wilderness.
Right. And the most frustrating thing to your point is that it gives environmentalists and climate activists this sense of moral superiority,
yep,
where they absolve themselves of the responsibility for what they have lobbied for and advocated for, and they just say, oh, we need to just tackle climate change and move to 100% renewables by 2030 and do all these crazy plans, when actually in a particular scenario like this, what we need to be doing is what indigenous communities have been doing for centuries, what farmers and ranchers have been doing across the world, which is do controlled burns that clear out some of that underbrush and that actually get to the root of the problem. And the hypocrisy is very annoying because if you look at California, which has some of the worst forest management policies mm-hmm. in the entire world, their entire emissions reductions of the last two decades were wiped out in a single fire season in 2020. So they are implementing these crazy expensive policies that are reducing emissions around the edges and at the same time not managing their forest properly. And so what happens when you have a crazy forest season, wildfire season like you had in 2020? All those emissions go into the air and wipe out all the progress you made. I don't think that's really good environmental policy.
It isn't. And of course, it also then makes it harder for you and I, who care about the environment, to actually make arguments in favor of certain kinds of environmentalist policy, because people are, I think, smart enough to see through some of this nonsense, and then they are just inherently distrustful of any message that comes from people even that they trust, because they see it being exploited. And at the end of the day, my biggest issue with environmentalism in this country, and really around the globe, is that it's more about a political ideology of being anti-capitalist, anti-big business, than it is about actually protecting the environment.
Yeah, and that's why the American Conservation Coalition exists, frankly. It's to inject fresh, new common sense ideas into this conversation. And I do think the tide is shifting. There are more and more people that are understanding that we can't just keep on going with the irrational environmental approach to these things that we've had for the last few decades. And so I'm optimistic that we can keep changing things and changing this narrative, but it's going to need a lot more people saying the right things.
Absolutely. And I know that's going to be a big part of what you do over at acc.eco. For those of you who want to learn more about the American Conservation Coalition, acc.eco. You're about 10 minutes away, I think, from becoming president of the organization.
Yeah, I'll be taking over in August, which is very exciting. We're growing fast, and really, I think it shows the appetite for just sensible environmentalism, which just is more needed than ever.
100%. Again, it's acc.eco if you want to learn more and see how you can take action. Chris Barnard, thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
You're listening to The Jason Rand Show.
The Jason Rand Show.
Here to react, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rand.
And the rise of soft-on-crime laws and policies have made it worse.
Our man in the Pacific Northwest, Jason Rand, is on that.
And you keep on bringing us these extraordinary stories from Seattle. It's amazing.
Long form.
Well, Gavin Newsom is not going to stop running for president, despite the fact that Democrats already have someone running for president. And it looks like another indictment is imminent for former President Donald Trump. Joining me to discuss and understand is our friend, attorney and Fox News contributor Leo Terrell. Welcome back to the show.
Jason, thanks for having me. Before we talk about anything, I want to congratulate you on your upcoming book, What's Killing America.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Look forward to have you come to L.A. and have a book signing.
Oh, absolutely. I will mandate that is on my tour so they pay for me to visit you so we can actually meet in real life for the first time, despite having talked for a while.
I look forward to it.
So if I go to L.A., though, I'm going to have to deal with just more Gavin Newsom, just nonstop silliness. He's now introducing an idea of another amendment instead of like dealing with the Second Amendment. Hey, let's introduce a new one to go after guns.
You know, it's really amazing. I mean, he's already checked out of California mentally. Yeah. He's a lame duck governor. He wants to run for president. Everyone knows it. So he comes up with this idiotic proposed 28th Amendment to modify the Second Amendment. Now, Jason, you and I and everyone listening to your program knows darn well it's going nowhere. It's just because he wants attention. It's like, hey, don't forget me. I really want to run for president. So it's insulting to the intelligence of everyone in this country, because we know it's dead on arrival.
Is he doing this because he is waiting for some news to break that Biden is going to drop out? Is this really playing the long game?
No, I think it's the former. I think this guy is on his bending knee praying something happens where Joe Biden does an LBJ 2023 version of what LBJ did in 1968. When he, you know, basically announced that he's not going to run. He's hoping Joe Biden changes his mind and not run. Because I'll tell you right now, he's trying to stay relevant. And the sad part about it, guess who's getting hurt? People who live in the largest state in this country, 40 million people, the crime, the homelessness, everything I'm pretty sure your book talked about, progressive destruction of California is taking place while this guy is waiting to run for president.
Yeah, and of course he's talking about literally everything except for California. And I find that so amusing when he's going after Ron DeSantis, or he goes after just the state of Florida and state of Texas. It's like, you've got a lot of problems in California, and they're happening in your biggest cities, and they're, for the most part, being completely ignored.
Oh, it's not safe to live in California. And you know what? When he tries to engage Ron DeSantis, and DeSantis should just ignore him and talk about the idea of these migrants are being brought into California, and there's possibly kidnapping charges. This is a guy who welcomes everyone to come to California. This is the guy who opens up the taxpayers' piggy bank for everyone who's not a citizen in California. The crime, the homelessness, the poor quality schools, it is not desirable to live in California. But you know what? He gets a pass because this is the deepest of blue states, and he doesn't have anything to worry about. We got a Democratic state legislature, and the major cities are run by progressive wackos.
Doesn't this run the risk of alienating Democrats, including the Biden administration? You know, again, I know he's hoping Biden drops out, but Biden hasn't indicated any interest in dropping out. I have to assume he's well aware of what Gavin Newsom is doing here. Wouldn't he just cause some – would you assume that this would cause problems, including with Kamala Harris, who I assume would expect that she would be the nominee?
Oh, well, I'll tell you right now. First of all, let me tell you now. He's not making a move without the permission of Nancy Pelosi. I mean, first of all, you know, he made the announcement, I support Joe Biden for reelection. That's just the cover up. This guy is basically being handled by the professionals who are just keeping him in the wings, waiting for Joe Biden to change his mind. And regarding Kamala Harris, let me tell you right now, I don't think he has to worry about her. She is basically the most unpopular person on the planet and the worst vice president ever. And everyone knows that if you vote for Joe Biden, something, God forbid, he wins and God forbid something happens to him. Could you imagine who the next president is? Let me be clear. I want to say this right up front. You know, if they're worried about, oh, we can't get rid of her because we're going to lose the black vote. Hey, how about we're going to lose our country?
Exactly.
Kamala Harris will make us lose our country.
Well, and this reminds me, and I think you'll acknowledge the same observation. This is John McCain picking Sarah Palin. Regardless of what people thought about Sarah Palin on the Republican side, and I think she gets a little bit of a bad rap because it wasn't as bad as people want to pretend it was, but that was a race about the vice president in large part. I think this one is going to be an even bigger issue when it comes to the VP. So whoever the Republican nominee chooses is going to be exceptionally important.
So I think there's no question about it, because let me tell you right now, you know, usually the vice president is irrelevant. You vote for the top of the ticket. If Biden is going to run, people are going to be focusing on his mental diminished state and look who's next in line. Mm-hmm. She is going to be front and center as far as a major factor on the minds of every American voter.
Leo Terrell joining me on the line, attorney, Fox News contributor. What do you make of Mike Pence jumping into the race?
Honestly, Jason, I'd like to have a drink with you and we could sit here and I can't honestly say I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it other than his family. Now, look, every American has the right to run for office. Let me just be clear. I am a civil rights attorney. I believe in, you know, you have a right. This is the land of the free and liberty. But where the base? Where is his base other than his family? Who's going to vote for Mike Pence? And it just leads me to believe that is there a hidden motive? And everyone knows why Chris Christie is running.
Yeah.
But what's the motive of Mike Pence? I don't see the bait.
I think I have the motive. I think he is doing this to – I think he views this as cleaning up his legacy and rewriting what his legacy is going to be defined as. I think he knows that the historians are going to go after Donald Trump. And he wants to distance himself from it as best as he can. And I think this makes it pretty clear that he does, in fact, want to separate and wants nothing to do with Donald Trump, no matter what he ends up saying on the campaign trail. Because obviously he's going to have to try to appeal to the base of the Republican Party, who's 100% not going to go with him. But again, if let's say Donald Trump drops out, he's dealing with more indictments. Just let's live in that world for a moment. Well, he's still going to have to bring in those 30% of voters that are hardcore, die-hard fans of Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. If Trump drops out, I don't think under any circumstance he would drop out. But he is not going to get one of those 25% Trump hardcore who will just vote for Trump and no one else. Mike Pence will not appeal to them. So I just think if the alternative is to clean up his legacy, Is there an alternative than running for presidency? But running for the presidency, I just don't see it. I just don't get it.
Yeah. At what point do you think the number becomes too high that it actually hurts him amongst fans and Republicans in general? Because I understand why a Republican might say, I just don't want to deal with the drama anymore. I like the guy. I like what he did for me as president, but I just can't do this anymore.
That's an excellent question. And I believe that there is some fatigue there. There could be some fatigue. But I will submit to you that regardless of the number of indictments, no one – I mean, Trump is not going to drop out. There's just no way. He's not built that way. And I'm going to – everyone knows I'm a Trump supporter, and I'm going to go with him all the way to the end. So, but I don't see that fatigue happening where Trump is going to say, you know what, I'm going to drop out. I don't see that. But I do see – if there is going to be, a slippage in the polls for Trump, it's going to have to be a mistake on his part, independent of those indictments. And Trump is very savvy. I just don't see it happening. But, you know, anything is possible.
Do you think it's wise to skip debates?
In my opinion, and I've tweeted it out, I personally believe President Trump should not attend a single debate. Look, Jason, you and I know, you know, if we're going to be honest to the listeners, the Democratic Party hates him. But the Republican establishment hates him even more.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, those debates, if I'm a diehard Trump supporter, I would say, President Trump, hey, I don't care what you may lose by not attending those debates. It's not worth it. The Chris Christies, the Asen Hutchinson, there's five or six individuals in this race solely designed to do everything they possibly can to hurt Trump. And there's just no upside. There's no upside to that. And I just don't see it.
Yeah, but you also know his personality. If Ron DeSantis goes out there or Chris Christie goes out there, whomever, says, yeah, the reason why he doesn't want to debate is because he's too much of a coward. He's scared. He's going to lose this debate. He knows that. I just do not think that Donald Trump has it in him to not show up then.
You know what? I just think he might use another form. And let me simply say this. And I challenge any one of those opponents to be able to match Trump's ability on a Saturday afternoon. I don't care your favorite baseball team, Jason, your favorite concert. I would submit to you that if Trump was having a rally in Sioux City, Iowa, he's going to get 50,000 people there on a weekend, on a Saturday night, even if it's raining. No other candidate could do that. This guy has some type of charisma and a relationship that goes outside the beltway with the average American people. I will simply say this. I never voted Republican in my life. First time I voted Republican was for Donald Trump, and I plan to vote for him in 2024.
Yeah, that's where the Leo 2.0 came in, because I have talked about your L.A. radio past, and you're a big part of the reason I got into radio. And I love to see that kind of – let's not call it an evolution, because I think that's almost sounding insulting, but a change of heart. A change of direction.
But you got to give me some slack here, because the Democratic Party has gone wacko.
Yes, it has.
They're crazy.
Yeah, it has.
They're crazy.
It's insane.
I mean, look at your book. That's not the Democratic Party I belong to.
Yeah.
I mean, look what these guys are doing now. It's crazy, Jason. And I want to say this about Trump. You know, you talk about Trump fatigue, but all these candidates, they love Trump's policies.
Mm-hmm.
They love his policies. He accomplished more in those 4 years than other than Lincoln. I can't think of another president. This guy did wonders. I agree. People have Trump fatigue, but they can never challenge his policy. He was very, very effective.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a tough one for any candidate who goes up against Donald Trump. We've been talking with Leo Terrell, civil rights attorney and Fox News contributor, and my friend. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Jason, anytime. Look forward to your book coming out. I think it's in September.
Yep,
you got to come to L.A.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thanks, right. Leo.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.
The Jason Rant Show.
Let's bring in our man in the Pacific Northwest, KTTH, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rants.
Great to have you with us to tell people a little bit more about this.
Jason Rants is in focus now.
Jason Rants, thank you for your reporting on that.
The Quick Hit.
Remember when we were told it was just completely made up Fox News propaganda that Biden officials were looking to go after gas stoves? We were told that many, 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 many times as that conversation, that issue was being discussed by Fox News, and really only Fox News. The only times MSNBC or CNN or some other outlets, print outlets, discussed this, was when they were mocking Fox News for pointing it out. I was amongst some of the talking heads that discussed this on Fox. We were told that it's just a total lie. Now, the funny thing is, I've got part of my book covers this particular issue. The name of the book, of course, is What's Killing America. It's available now for pre-sale. I hope you'll support it. But it was clear from my research that the claims being made by MSNBC were obviously false. It's very clear that gas stoves were being targeted. There is no doubt whatsoever. And now Fox is reporting that they started this even earlier, the conversations about what they would do with regulating gas-powered stovetops. They contemplated for at least a year, which is earlier than what was previously known. This, according to internal communications that they got a hold of. They show the four-member Consumer Product Safety Commission actively exploring legal justifications for regulations on gas stoves. They did this last summer in June of 2022. Richard Trumka Jr., the commissioner who started all of this, ended up consulting with a group out of New York City on what can they do to legally justify issuing whatever the gas stove standards would end up being. And in this email, he wrote, I would like to follow up on a discussion that took place. And excuse me, this is the response back to Richard Trumka. And it came from We Act for Environmental Justice. And the policy manager, Yuwa Vosper, wrote in this email, I would like to follow up on a discussion that took place on June 2nd, 2022. During the call, Commissioner Trumka suggested for us to evaluate the legal rationale for gas stove standards and labeling within the Federal Hazard Substance Act, FHSA. Since our call, I've been heavily researching to make the connection and find legal support that Commissioner Trumka was referencing within the FHSA. Therefore, I would like to meet as a follow-up to discuss and determine if I am on the correct path and with my thought process for our organizational memorandum draft to further our advocacy on gas stove regulation. So even more evidence, and notably silent for the most part, are the same left-wing outlets that told us this story was fake. Now, I think it might have been CNN. It might have been MSNBC. I can't remember. But I saw a tweet this morning from one of their talking heads with a video still saying that this is a made-up story. Still saying it. And then you had, I think it was Hakeem Jeffries, who made the exact same claim, claiming, oh, no, this is just something that the MAGA Republicans are considering. And it's just, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Now, ultimately, the assumption was going to be that they weren't going to go into homes and take out your gas stoves, but moving forward in new buildings, new apartment complexes, or retail businesses or office businesses, office locations, excuse me, you're not going to be able to use any gas-powered stovetop or gas furnaces. And we also know that oil furnaces, for example, here in Seattle were pushed aside. They were banned in the city. And now they're going after gas furnaces. Senator John Kennedy was on Hannity last night. Just make fun of this as only he can.
All of this is just one further indication that the Biden administration has a fatal attraction to nutty ideas. About 50% of American households heat their homes with natural gas-powered furnaces. President Biden's new rule would make about 40 to 60% of those furnaces illegal.
So it's just an ever expanding attempt by this administration and Democrats in general, and I would argue that these are the radical left, who are trying to change the way you live your life. And it's funny because so my book, What's Killing America, it's available now for pre-sale. It's broken down into two parts. Part one is about how policies are impacting your quality of life, and part two is about how policies are dictating how you live. And obviously, there are overlaps in that because your quality of life is impacted by how you're told to live. But, you know, as I was doing research for the book, I was finding more and more attempts on the local and national level by the radical left to tell you how you're supposed to live your life. And it's getting to the point where they tell you you can't use plastic bags, you can't cook on gas stovetops, you can't heat your home with a gas-powered furnace. Now, ultimately, I think it's a smarter move to go with a more energy-efficient furnace because it just saves you more money. At the end of the day, it's going to save you money. And yes, a gas furnace is bad for the environment, certainly compared to the energy efficiency models. But it should be your choice, and it shouldn't be forced on you. It shouldn't be pushed on you in any way, shape, or form. I think that this is absolutely absurd. Absolutely absurd. And of course, the underlying concern about pushing people into, you know, the energy efficient furnaces that are gas powered is you're then creating more demand, which is going to jack up the prices ultimately, rather than allowing people just to sort of naturally get to a point where they're ready to make that change, which then stems the, or at least mitigates the threat of prices just skyrocketing right at once.
In my opinion, it's a moronathon. It is just further evidence that crazy never takes a day off in Washington, D.C., when President Biden's in charge.
Certainly true. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. You are listening to The Jason Rance Show.